Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax. All right, our thanks to Josh Beckett. Good guy. Really enjoyed talking to Josh Beckett. Exclusive from here at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe. Not going on at that table next to me. That's not happening. Not bragging, I'm just saying. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we're live at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe. I was doing other things. The internet's working. And so far, we haven't dropped, so we fixed it. They do such a great job taking care of us here at the American Century Championships. And, of course, you know, broadcasting outside on a golf course, not the easiest thing in the world to do. So we appreciate all the help from everybody here helping us out, helping us come to you live and give you a chance to hear World Series hero Josh Beckett, just an incredible pitcher. He was an absolute stud for a long, long time. Our coverage brought to you by Stateline Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram, Buck Roofing, M&M Golf Cars, Sprint, American Century, and Bushnell Factory Outlets. Do we have Eric? Okay, good, good. News I need to know. Eric Eager is with us from Pro Football Focus. I talked to him a number of times. He's with us on our Sprint guest line. Eric, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Not bad. I can't complain. I'm sitting out in a sun-drenched golf course with beautiful Lake Tahoe behind me. I mean, how am I complaining?
Right, and you just got to talk to Josh Beckett. I mean, come on, this what a day.
That's right, and allegedly on the 15th, I'm going to get a check, too, for all of it. So that's cool. That makes it even better, getting paid to do this kind of stuff. All right, and then I get a chance to talk to you. Really, that's the highlight of my day, Eric, is because I like the brilliant football mind that you are. And what do you think? Now, we apparently the Chiefs offseason is over, you know, there's no stats to break down what this foolishness of not having a press conference when you announce the firing and then hiring of a general manager does. So I don't think we have any metrics for that part of the equation. But beyond that, what do you think of the offseason as a whole for the Chiefs and whether or not they're better or worse this year than they were last year?
Right. I have a few friends that, you know, cover other NFL teams, and I know, you know, during the, you know, February, March, April months, I was a little bit envious of them because their teams had, you know, cap space and drama and all this kind of stuff, and I was sort of lamenting how sort of functional the Chiefs were, and then part of it was also because of their lack of cap space. And then, boy, the world moves fast, I guess. I think that they're in a, you know, a decent position personnel wise. I'm not exactly sure what was going on behind the scenes between, you know, the Hunts and the Reeds and the Dorseys, but it sounds like they've sort of made their choice, right, with those two guys kind of going up for their contract at the same time. They've made the choice with Reed, and it looks like, you know. It was a very big surprise for me. So I've just been kind of trying to hack away at a few numbers and see sort of like how good Dorsey was. Was there like sort of kinks in his armor, that kind of thing that made them, you know, sort of make this move? And I still am sort of searching for an explanation.
What did you find? I mean, I look, the cap is the one thing that everybody talks about. And I get it. I mean, nobody likes to be squeezed up against the cap. Everybody'd like to be in the Raiders' position where they're able to front-load contracts and keep kind of rolling that cap space back. That's a great idea. I think everyone needs to keep in mind the absolute hell that the organization went through to get to that point. I mean, just being god-awful forever. You know, that's part of what comes with it. And then getting high picks where you can get guys. But is the Chiefs' cap as bad as we think it is? We know it's tight, but do they have good talent for the money? I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Spend the money, get good players? I mean, at the end of the day, when you evaluate the roster, is the talent worthy of the money they're spending?
Right, and that's really where I went as I looked at how Dorsey drafted versus what you would expect. So basically, I mean, there's a number of ways to measure how good somebody is, but I just used Pro Football Reference, and I just went through all of Dorsey's picks and looked at the value that they got for that pick versus the value that every other team got for that same selection. So, you know, Marcus Peters picked, where I think at 18 in 2015, he's, you know, twice the value that you normally get for that pick. For example, Travis Kelce, similar thing for the 63rd pick in 2013, those types of things. And it, and pick for pick, John Dorsey got a value that was better than the league average at that pick for the last, you know, 2013 to 2016. You know, so if you just look, and just as kind of a reference point, if you look at Scott Pioli, for example, his predecessor got basically below, quite a bit below league average per pick for his entire tenure. So from that perspective, you look at that and you say, well, you know, yeah, they're bumping up against the cap, but part of that is because they have to re-sign guys that they draft that end up working out well. Or, you know, they find guys like Ron Parker, they find guys like, you know, the Jay Howards of the world, for example, that they have to pay because they're, you know, they're good at finding talent, and then that talent produces, then they have to, their market value increases. And so I think he's a little bit of a, I think he's a little cursed by his own ability to, you know, find talent in places that other people don't.
And we're talking right now to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Look, is it fair to say, and we can get into Alex Smith, you and I have chatted about him a number of times, but that the roster, I mean, like, just stack it up. Is it all there? I mean, I think it is. I think everything's there. Like if you took Aaron Rodgers off the Packers and put him on the Chiefs, are they Super Bowl favorite?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, or the other way you put it is if you put Alex Smith on the Packers roster, I don't know if they win six games. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. So you look, and I have this, my sort of projected, you know, 53. There's some NFL caliber players that are not going to make the Chiefs this year. And then there are guys like who are former starters. Like, I know the Beach was talking about how he used to pick up guys like Josh Malga, Hussein Abdullah, that kind of thing. As, you know, as the front office does a good job of picking up guys that end up being contributors, you know, you end up with this sort of, you know, this substantial level of talent across the roster. And I look and, you know, yeah, the right cornerback position, you're kind of wondering whether or not Terrence Mitchell is going to be good. You have questions about the second wide receiver position, you know, but, you know, player for player, I mean, they've done a fantastic job of loading that roster up. And I think that, you know, the fact that they went out and boldly grabbed a quarterback at this particular time, I think that they're stacking up to be, you know, in a pretty decent position to compete, whether it be next year or, you know, if Alex Smith has a plus season this year.
What are your expectations for Veach? I mean, in reality, I put it this way. I said, look, here's the negative of it. A year ago, you got a guy who's your co-number three guy in your front office. You win 12 games, a division title, and now you're down to your co-number three guy. That's the negative way to look at it. And the positive spin is that, hey, Dayton Moore, who's done an incredible job with the Royals as a general manager, at one point was third in command with the Atlanta Braves. You know, Nick Saban at one point was a position coach, right? Greatness is out there, and they need their opportunity. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you hope that Veach is the next great general manager, and he's getting his opportunity now at 39 years old. And, you know, it's important to be able to work with the coach. He's got a background with that. I think that's a positive. It can't possibly be a negative. You know, what is your level of optimism about what kind of success Veach will have stepping into this role?
Yeah, I mean, anything that Dorsey did while he was in Kansas City, right? There's some of Veach's fingerprints on that too, right? Being one of the people who's providing them with the decision-making process. So, you know, I look at, you know, the guys that, you know, he specifically said in an interview, he talked about the Malgas, the Abdullahs, the Sean Smiths, the Ron Parkers, the guys that are kind of unheralded that they brought in who are contributors. And then you look at his time in Philadelphia when he, you know, I looked basically from, you know, I think 2009 to 2012, you know, they drafted guys like Fletcher Cox, like Brandon Graham, Michael Kendricks, Jason Kelce was a sixth-round pick who's been a fantastic center in the NFL. Kurt Coleman, Deion Lewis, guys that Brandon Boykin, guys that are actually, you know, really good football players. You know, he was part of the process of sort of looking for those guys, and I think that speaks well to his ability, because, you know, the Chiefs, they're one of those teams that win on the margin all the time, right? There's no accident that their special teams are consistently the best in the league, and they're consistently giving the Chiefs +2 wins or whatever per season, just on random stuff. Because again, the bottom half of their roster is substantially better than the others. I mean, you looked at what happened to the Eagles when, you know, Chip Kelly took over that personnel from, you know, the staff that included Veach, and he basically gutted it to the point where, you know, now the Eagles have to sort of rebuild under Peterson. I mean, there's just that. And if you're going to have a team like Kansas City where you're sort of marginal at positions like quarterback and wide receiver, the fact that they can win 11 and 12 games consistently is really, I think, a testament to people who are kind of on that, you know, sort of middle management position, looking at kind of scouting players and selecting them from unknown places.
Is that Andy Reid's Achilles heel, that he just kind of says, hey, I'll piece it together, I'll make it work, you know, and doesn't go get those premium offensive playmakers, although Tyreek Hill is obviously one of those types of guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the issue is that you just, it's all about quarterbacks. I mean, I think you talked about Aaron Rodgers. I think if you take Aaron Rodgers off the Green Bay Packers, I think Jordy Nelson's probably still an elite player. But the guys like Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb, I mean, if they were on the Chiefs, I don't know if they would produce 400 yards receiving in a season, you know. So it really is about the quarterback. And the issue with the quarterback is, you know, you see every year a team like I'm really happy that they got Mahomes instead of Paxton Lynch, for example. But they, you know, they were willing, you know, to swing some sort of take a swing at Paxton Lynch if the price was right. I mean, it is all about the quarterback, and except for rare circumstances, you're going to find that guy via the draft. And the Chiefs, that, you know, again, being cursed by their own success, have never really been in a position, other than when they forced it this year, to get a quarterback who's really, you know, ready to be the franchise guy. And so the next best thing is a guy like Smith, who, you know, regardless, I think, of the talent around him, it just kind of puts a ceiling on how the offense can perform.
Did the Raiders pass the Chiefs this offseason?
You know, I would say I'm a little bit less bullish on Derek Carr than others. I think Derek Carr's a good quarterback and somebody who, you know, can really, I don't know. I think I see a little bit of like guys like Jake Delhomme and him, you know, Drew Brees, yeah, kind of just guys that can fire up their team, but may not have like kind of the elite level kind of raw skills. But they have built a lot around him. They did draft a cornerback in the first round, but I still think their pass defense is one of the worst in the NFL last year, and that'll always hurt them, even with having Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin rushing the passer. They still are weak against the pass, so I think their defense is still going to be an issue. And I think you're going to see a little bit of regression from Derek Carr from where he was a season ago, where literally they put him in the perfect position to succeed. You know, I don't necessarily think Jared Cook's going to be the kind of tight end he was in Green Bay when he doesn't have a guy like Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. I think Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, growing up a Vikings fan, I don't necessarily think Cordarrelle Patterson's got necessarily what it takes unless they're manufacturing touches for him. I'm a little less bullish on the Raiders. Now, again, you know, injuries and everything like that have to happen, but, you know, or have to not happen. But I think the Chiefs are every bit as talented as they are from 1 to 53.
Yeah. You'd still take Carr over Smith, though, right?
Right, but I would take Marcus Peters over David Amerson and Eric Berry over
sure.
Carl Joseph. You know, I'd take that whole deep, you know, I'd take Justin Houston if he's healthy. I think he's every bit as good as Khalil Mack can be.
And I think that's one of the huge keys for the Chiefs. Justin Houston's got to be healthy. If he's healthy, that defense gets a different look to it. We know how good it is. Isn't it the bottom line, at least until we start to see him slip, that Andy Reid's a great difference maker? You know, you talked about kind of living on that margin. Like when games are up for grabs, I know everybody hates his clock management, allegedly. I think every coach that calls his own plays has his own struggles. And I don't think it's any different. I don't think he's any really worse than anybody else that's out there that calls his own plays and has to manage the clock. But I do think he's brilliant at a game plan. I think he's brilliant at managing the game as far as the field position goes and the 58, 59 minutes up till the last minute. I think he's great. And, by the way, I think everyone's going to think his clock management is better if Patrick Mahomes is the kind of quarterback they think he can be. Then all of a sudden that clock management is going to look a lot better when you got a guy spinning the ball for touchdowns instead of just down for field goals. But I think if games are close, Andy Reid wins them. I mean, isn't that the ace the Chiefs have in the hole? And isn't that why if Andy Reid was sideways with John Dorsey, you give Andy Reid what he wants?
Yeah, I believe that to be the case. I think the 2 minute drill thing is an issue, but if you look at any of Andy Reid's disciples, they've had the similar issue, but 100 times worse. I mean, Brad Childress could game plan okay, and then he was a complete tire fire when it came to, you know, calling plays in Minnesota, right? So like you said, like you trade things off, and Andy Reid's really quite good at building a game plan around his team's strengths. He's quite good in game calling plays, and there's just one thing he's relatively weak at. I think he's somebody and his track record is longer than John Dorsey's in terms of success. I think in many different ways as well. He had success whether or not he had Terrell Owens in Philadelphia, or if he had James Thrash as his number one receiver in Philadelphia, right? And so I just think there's a lot more versatility there. I think, you know, he does a good job of allowing Bob Sutton to run the defense. You know, he doesn't get particularly self-conscious about those kinds of things, which is what a lot like Todd Haley had that problem when he was the coach in Kansas City. I think he's just a very well-rounded and good coach who has one small weakness. And I would have made the same decision had it been an either-or decision to make.
Yeah, not that it is, we want to be clear, but if that was right. The situation, then that's the direction you go. We're talking to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus here in the program. Time for my final four. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Win a 2017 truck of your choice. During the Trucks and Bucks promotion, you can enter your non-winning tickets by going to the web, kslottery.com. Let's start you with this one. What do you think Jeremy Maclin's numbers will be with the Baltimore Ravens this year? Catches, yards, touchdowns.
40, 550, and 3.
So you got no problem with him being let go, obviously, if that's where you think that's going.
It sounds like he's only going to play in the slot for Baltimore. That was a report I read, so Flacco's kind of more of a downfield guy, so I don't see him doing that well.
All right. What's the best golf score you've ever put up?
Oh, man. So in seventh grade, I got a 29 on a par 3, 9 holes, 27 baseline. That's about – and then I quit playing because I figured I'd never get any better than that.
I like it. That's good. I had 29 on a par 3. That's the greatest answer I've ever gotten to that question. Who will be the Chiefs' best rookie?
I think it's going to be Kareem Hunt.
Yep. Me too. That's two of us. And finally, right now, and of course, there's time to change your opinion, but what are you feeling for a record for the Chiefs?
Last time I said 11-5. Let's go 10-6.
The turmoil backed you off a game?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Maclin, Howard, you know, it's kind of just a little bit of uncertainty on how the guys like Conley and you know, the Benny Logan, Nunez Rochus, you know, just kind of a little uncertainty there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm fine with that. Eric, always great stuff, man. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again here as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus does an amazing job breaking things down, as does all of the site at Pro Football Focus. Must have if you are a football junkie. It's profootballfocus.com, and Eric Eager writes a lot about the Chiefs, so make sure you search his name, E-A-G-E-R, right? I got that right. E-A-G-E-R, Rob, did I spell that right? That's how I always write it down. So, but does a great job. We appreciate his time. We're here at the American Century, or I'm here, the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Our coverage brought to you by American Century, our great friends here at American Century, who are the title sponsor of this great event. And, of course, Sprint. Thanks to Sprint, we are able to bring you great guests like Eric Eager. On our Sprint guest line, we'll take a break. More here from Lake Tahoe next.